the biggest dreams in my heart, and that's just the start. Better than getting what I say I need, better than living the life that I want to, better than the love anyone could give. Your love is, you hold me now in your arms and never let me go. And you will love me in the sunshine and the moonlight and the night sky. Give me breath and all your love. Give my heart to you because
we'll be right back. your breath on that one, right? Right? There we go. How you doing? Got anything, Wayne?
Maybe something. All right, so last week we handed a sheet out for Family Tech Night. It made it to like this side of the room only. So if anybody's interested in signing up still, I'm not really trying to get a list of who's coming, just get an idea what night is really best. I got enough people now, but if you guys are interested in learning more about security and being a little more educated than your children, hey, come on out and we'll talk to you about it.
On computers, right? Huh? Computer, right?
Computer stuff, IT, internet,
right?
Of things.
How many remember that song we just sang? See the OGs in here.
The
original gangsters.
The old guys.
Okay, the old guys. So, song from the early 90s.
Speak for yourself, Jack.
I know. Do you remember, Becky?
Yes.
That's because we sang it before. So.
No, I know that song.
When were you born, Becky?
84.
Oh, God.
84.
I have underwear older than 84.
Don't hate on the youngins.
I do. I got shirts older than that.
I do. I actually.
Not underwear, though. That's disgusting.
No, that is, yeah. Turn it inside out.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Now, we are glad that you're here. If you tuned in right now and you're wondering what in the world is he talking about underwear for, hey, right, it's all good, okay? So we are here to worship God, right? And that's what we want to do. And so we serve an amazing, amazing God. And if you don't know that and that's all you get from today, that's the most thing you need to hear, that we serve an amazing God. And when we can't, he does. And that's what we're going to talk about. And we're going to sing about, and we're just going to worship him, right?
Right.
Heaven thundered, light that's beautiful. And I want more, I want all that's yours. Joy unspeakable that won't go away. And just enough strength to live for today. So I'll never have to worry what tomorrow will bring. Cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on, God. Strength to live for today, so I'll never have to worry what tomorrow will bring, cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on, God. I'm counting on, God. I'm counting on, God. I'm counting on, God. Joy unspeakable that won't go away, and just enough strength to live for today, so I never have to worry what tomorrow will bring. But my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on. I'm counting.
I want to hear you guys sing. I'm counting on God. Here we go.
I'm counting on. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on. I'm counting on.
Joy unspeakable, here we go.
Joy unspeakable, I won't go away. And just enough strength to live for today. So I never have to worry what tomorrow will bring. Cause my faith is on solid rock. I'm counting on God. I'm counting on, God. I'm counting on, God. I'm counting on, God. I'm counting on,
Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you that we can come here and we can count on you. And that the coolest thing in the world, God, and the coolest thing in the universe is that we can count on the one who made it all. And if we look at the songs today, that you are an unstoppable God. And that, God, it's awesome when we can count on an unstoppable God who created this whole thing. And so, God, as we are here today, we come to you from many places, not only from physical places, but in our hearts and our minds. And God, we know that we need a touch from the Master. We need the Creator, the loving God. We need to count on you right now. And may you be unstoppable in our lives. And for that and all things, we give you praise. In Christ's name we say, amen. All right. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children for our Shoreline Sunday School ministry. And everybody else, say hello to somebody. All right, here we are once again. Good morning to everybody. All right, so we're glad that you're here. So welcome to Haven Community Church. If you're visiting with us for the first time here, welcome. We're glad that you're here. Hopefully you received a card that you can go ahead and put that together. Fill that information out. We have a small gift for you if you take it out here. For those of you, we want to welcome our online viewership. Everybody say hello online, church. And we want to welcome Facebook Live and say Facebook Live. Oh, you can do better than that. Get us here for Facebook Live. All right, we'll work on that. Sorry, Facebook Live, we'll work on that. But great to have everybody here and those joining us. We have a lot of people that are checking in online, and we are thrilled for that. And thank God for technology that allows us all to be together, even though we aren't physically together. Isn't that awesome? So we're glad that you're here. You can take a look at the information. Men's group, here we go, men. Men, here, I'm going to say the magic word, food. Men's group food night, Tuesday. You're going to have some food this time. And it's Tuesday, February 28th here at the church. And so it'll be a good time and maybe a game of cornhole as well, all right? So if you're not sure what that is, you can come and check out, but it's fun, all right? So we have that. So that's for anybody who wants to come, 6:30 this Tuesday, February 28th. Isn't that crazy? We're at the end of February already? All right. So a second Disciple Bible study for our Wednesday morning group will be starting this Wednesday. Right here at Haven Church at 9:15. So if you're interested, please plan on coming out at 9:15 and connecting, or you can connect with Connection Life Groups at havencc.org, and they will go ahead and connect you further. Miriam's Table. Okay, Wes, you want to come on up? Miriam's Table. We had Susie and Ed with us last week, and also Miriam herself. You can come up here in the light so we can see you. All right. And so I'm thankful, number one, that Wes and Emily shared with us this vision in this ministry, and I'm also thankful to what he's going to share. Go ahead. Yeah.
And we're thankful for a church body that responds, because when you serve an unstoppable God and you pray to that God to bless a mission, $3,700 is quite a blessing. And Jack and I were sharing before the service, what really draws us to this church is just that overall mission this church has. When you respond to Bonnie's mission with Paris, they have that heart, and they respond to yours. And so many other missions that this church serves respond that way. It reminds me of that church in Revelation that Jesus tells them, you do all the proper churchy things, but you lack sharing the love with the people that need it. This last month, we've shared love with children that you'll never see, that'll live one more day because you gave 52 cents. And there's no words that can really express all the joy and thanks we have for what you've done for Miriam's Table.
And I know that there were some people who already approached me and may have said things to Wes and others. You can still give to Miriam. I know we have online, and we're going to have that there that you can click and have a link directly there. If you feel passionate, you want to support them continually, that would be a tremendous blessing to them. But it also, if you say, hey, I brought my stuff, I want to give, you can make sure that gets into our hands. If you want tax credit for it, you got be sure, if it's written out to Haven Community Church, we can deal with that. If it's Miriam's Table, we just go ahead and send that directly to them, and they should respond. But we're just a conduit if you send it to Miriam's Table. Or you can just support them directly. It's not about us putting our hands on it first. It's about us serving an unstoppable God and seeing what he does in an area where, she said, not many people ever went to mission or anything in the Congo, and it's just awesome when we see that. So thank you from my heart in seeing that as well. So guess what? Next week, they're going to have another missions trip planning meeting. They've been brainstorming and praying and seeing God's direction. And so next Sunday after church, they're going to talk a little bit more about that as well. I think it's really cool that it's the first Sunday in Lent that that'll happen. So anyway, you may not think it's cool. I do. It must just be years of dogma. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, Paris Foundation. Our next Paris Foundation, March 19th. Lots of opportunities. And I say that now, and guess what? By the 19th, there won't be any. So get them while they're hot. Get these opportunities while they're hot. Nudge the person next to you and say, get the opportunity while it's hot. There you go. You guys are listening well. And if you're driving, keep your eyes on the road and say, get it while it's hot. All right, there we go. All right. Mark your calendars. April the 5th, we have our free Narcan training that we open our church to go ahead and do. Many of you know that we have a horrific drug addiction problem, particularly with heroin and other things. And so we've been offering the Narcan training for about three, four years. Is that right? And it's I know Narcan has saved lives. And there's several reasons, sociological, mental, other kinds of things that why people get into these situations. But we're not concerned about that. The main thing we're concerned about, these are people that God loves, and so do we. And so we want to go ahead and be prepared in order to go ahead and do that. That is open to anybody. Please plan to come. And you will go through the training, and they will make sure there will be a doctor here that makes sure you get the Narcan right away so that you can have that. All right? So make sure you mark your calendars. Please check our prayer list. Make sure you're up. You're continually praying for individuals and others that we're going to add to our prayer list. Bill has asked for prayers, for continued prayers for Barb and Ray Caldwell for their health issues. Tina asked for continued prayers for Maddie during her transition to moving home, and that she finds God in the midst of the troubles. Okay. June has asked for prayers for Patty and her family. Her aunt passed away last night, and June has asked for prayers for some issues at home. Okay, June, so we want to lift you up in prayers. We have these in the back underneath the sconces, and also if you're online, church, you can also just add them to the prayer list too. If you're on Facebook Live, add it to there. We'll make sure it gets to them. Or if you go to our website, havencc.org, we can go ahead and get the prayer request there. You who are sitting here with smartphones can do the same thing as well. Is there any ones that we need to add? Yes, Judy. Okay, Judy Music is going ahead and connecting to get meals for Ray and Barb Caldwell. If you would either like to cook or maybe send something to them, let her know. She just wants to coordinate that so they can have that taken care of. We want to do that. Others for prayers. A lot of times we lift up bad things. Any joys today? I know we have a joy. Did the kids leave already? Yes, yeah, Sonia, isn't it her 18th birthday? All right. And Carol, I don't see Carol today, but it's not her 18th birthday. It is her birthday. So. Awesome. Okay, so for everyone who did not hear that, Landon, who's on our prayer list, was a newborn, and he had arteries that were reversed, so he wasn't getting enough oxygen. He had open heart surgery a week after he was born, and he just came home Monday. So we want to thank God for that. Yes. Yes, my son Jacob is on spring break, and he went the opposite way. He went to Canada to visit a friend in Canada. I said, it's 31 and snowing. Enjoy that. Okay? So, but pray for him. He will be leaving by the time we around 12:30 or so, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock. So pray for him and Canada. All right. All right, others that we need to lift up in prayers. Okay, let's go to God right now. Lord God, we just come to you right now, and we thank you for every ounce of the blessings that you give to us. There are so, so many. You are an amazing and unstoppable God. We've shared that already as we're here today. I thank you for the heart for mission, like Wes just shared. And God, no eye has seen, no ear has heard what you have prepared for those who love you. And so, God, through this mission meeting, I pray that right now you have a place picked out that you have called for Haven to be your hands and feet to. Maybe not just to go and hit there and then leave and come back and say, wow, that was great, but one that, God, we partner in as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I thank you for that in advance. I also thank you for those on our prayer list, the ones that we lift up. We want a special blessing upon both Barb and Ray as they are dealing with these continued health issues. For Maddie and everything that she's going through, God, just make yourself more real to her during this time. For Patty and her family, and also for June as they're dealing with their own struggles. And for those who are traveling, those who maybe here for the first time,
checking in and just don't know what's going on in life, but just they're missing something, God, and it's not connecting, and they're getting tired and they're getting worn out, and they're just kind of like, I don't know where to turn. God, I just pray that right now that it's not a mistake that they're looking right now, that you are speaking directly to them and saying, I know your heart. I know your brokenness. I know you're hurt. I know you're tired. Come to me. Let me surround you with my love. God, make yourself more real to them. Your son, Jesus Christ. We have no answers. But we have the greatest answer, and the name is Jesus. So God, even in the midst of our world today, there are so many struggles and challenges. And yet, God, you care for us so much. You had the hairs on our head numbered. You take care of the sparrow, and you feed them. And you take care of us. And so, Lord, we want to thank you for all that you poured out upon us, that we live in a country where we can be free to come here and worship, or we can be free to not come here and worship. Whatever it is, God, that you have placed us here to be world changers, and you've given us so much more than most of the world has. And so right now, I want to thank you I want to thank you for the tither and the giver, as we cheerfully give to you, and God, as this may multiply and use not to further your kingdom here, but not only here, but around the world. So many people say, I came to know Jesus because of you and your love. So God, be with us. Send your Holy Spirit here amongst us in this room, amongst those who are watching online, and from those in our Sunday schools and other areas, all who call on the name of the Lord. For those in other churches today, God, I pray for revival. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thy will. Good morning. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 18, verses 10 through 14. Then one of them said, "Anyway, will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, I will have this pleasure." Then the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord?' I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son."
How you doing? I just want to say something before I get started today. Usually I have my back to this crew, or I'm standing next to them. I want you to pray for, Jill didn't mention it, but pray for her voice. She's having some throat things going on, so we want to lift her up in your prayers. But I often don't get to watch, and we are truly blessed to have this worship team, not just because they're ours. But Wayne, and I also want to add to that. But Wayne's leadership and just his patience, and we're gonna with us, and just the way he lets God lead him. To see Becky just worshiping God. And sometimes we break down because the words are real, right? And the passion is real in our hearts. Keith, he can do pretty much anything up here. I don't know how well, but no, he does a great job. I love Keith to death, and we always joke with each other. He's truly my brother in Christ, and I love him dearly. He just to play the bass, and he can fill in the drums. And Justin, man, you are awesome. Just to watch you, you're doing all kinds of stuff back there. I don't even know what you're doing, but it sounds awesome. So I think he's got cymbals between his knees in there, and he does have bells on his feet sometimes, just to let you know. And it's just awesome that just God uses our talents. And you know, I'll just say it. Some of you are not using God's talent that he's given you in many ways. I also would be remiss if I didn't say part of our worship team that never gets seen is in the back. That they keep the, Melinda keeps the words rolling. Believe me, you guys' worship experience would be a lot different if she didn't. Andy with the sound. And today we got Chad back there, right? And I know Jake and Kate and George and others have been back there. And Jim does a little bit of everything and makes sure we're having that. Those of you on online worship, give them a hand because they are thrilled that you are there. So we're thrilled that we have them. And anybody else can connect and be part of this. But I was just sitting here thinking, because I never get a chance to see them, and just to see the worship and see how God uses individuals. And everybody has a story. And one of the cool things about being a pastor is that I get to connect to people's story and see how God uses them. So it's not written down. I just wanted to say that because I was just really moved by how God is awesome. And so are his people. All right. So how are my big dogs? All right. That's better. We are on week 4 of what was going to be 4 weeks, but God gave me 2 other people. Okay. So we got 2 more dogs that we're going to talk about. Next week, we're going to talk about the dog Noah. Okay. And the last week, we're going to finish up with the biggest dog of them all, Jesus. So we're going to run the lap with Jesus. Sound good? Okay, so we're going to do that, and then we're going to finish that series up. I also want to mention to you that usually we do a Lenten study during that would kick off next week that goes along with church. This year, it's kicking off on Easter, and it's going to be called Hope Rising. Okay, and it's something that I'm really, really passionate about, Hope Rising. You'll hear more about that, but I just want to build up some of that in your life. All right, so here we go. We are, as I said, we're in week 4 of Running with the Big Dogs, and you can still post your pictures of your own big dogs online if you'd like to. But our theme verse for this comes from Hebrews chapter 12. We should have this memorized by now, right? It says, therefore, and what is it therefore? When you see therefore, it's what? You gotta find out what it's there for. The previous chapter, which is named the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame of Faith, which says, We are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. In other words, these people live their lives and that they're through their lives and their example, they're saying, Hey, learn from the bad I did, and we're encouraging you. We know that life is difficult. Because what does it say there? Let us throw off everything that hinders us. This race is not easy. Throw off everything that hinders us and the sins that so easily entangles, and run with perseverance. Now, that's not a word that we talked about, but we're going to touch on it today a lot. Run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. Yesterday, on the last 2 days, Melissa and I watched Jacob's MAC conference race. And I've seen so many races, and it's interesting to see how people run different races and are differently successful. And I was thinking about this series as we run our race in life. That if you try to run a long-distance race and you try to sprint all the way through it, chances are you're going to finish last. You've got to pace yourself, and you've got to learn, and you've got to know certain things. And what's really interesting, as I was watching, as they're running around the Lehigh track indoors, when they come along, there were some people that were going, yeah, come on, you got to go, like that. And I was thinking about this great cloud of witnesses that say, come on, Jack, you got it. No, don't give up. Kick it in. And we have that in God. So we need to throw off this stuff. So today we are going to talk about patience and endurance, because that's what perseverance is. Patient endurance. And we're going to be all over this section today. So today our big dog, we're going to stay with the same family that we've been in the last couple weeks. The big dog today is a lady named Sarah. She is the wife of Abraham and the mother of who? Isaac, and the grandmother of Jacob, who we talked about. So we're going to talk about her, because I believe that she is somebody who can teach us a lot about endurance and keep on keeping on, and we can learn something about this. Now, if you don't know much of the story of Sarah and Abraham, or if you do, I want to share some of that with you. What had happened was Abraham, or at this time Abram, and Sarai, which was her name, God ended up changing them, have been given a promise. Now, how many of us have ever felt like we really had a promise from God? That we really claimed it, we thought, this is a promise from God. But yet, the weeks, the days, the months, the years kind of keep going on, and you're saying, where is it? Yoo-hoo. God, are you there? Hello? And you're trying to find out. Anybody ever been in that situation where you just wonder? Well, this is the story of Sarah and Abraham. And it says that... In verse 15, we're going to look through Genesis 15, 1 through 6. And it's not in your notes, but it's up here. And it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram, who is Abraham, in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children. So a servant, who was Eleazar, a servant will in my household will be my heir. But look what happens. The word of the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir. And Eleazar went, darn it, okay? But a son who is of your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside. He took him outside and said, I want you to do something. Come on, Abram at this time, count the stars. Anybody ever tried to count the stars when you were little? How many did you get to? You can't do it. And here's one of the cool things is, when God gives us a promise at times, he will want us to come and try to do the impossible, just to test us, to show that we can't do it. And God says, so count them. And he says, but you can't do it. And that may be where many of you are. You can't understand where God is. You feel like what he's telling you is impossible, and you're getting impatient waiting. Because I want to tell you, after God gave this to Abram, guess what ended up happening? Some 25 years passed by. How many like to wait for something 25 years? How many like to wait for something 25 seconds? No, and you know what? We are worse at this in our instantaneous world today. Where you remember when you had to actually go to an encyclopedia to look up something? And they were old? And they were, because encyclopedias cost a lot of money, remember? And so you would have them. I think the ones we had in the 80s were from the 60s. A little bit changed over 20 years, just to let you know. I remember, but it was cool because we would look at the Apollo mission. And I thought that was really, really cool and things like that. But now, if you want to learn something, what do you do? Yeah, Google it. Imagine if in the 60s I said, Google it. You'd be like, what is wrong with this fool? Google it. You do what? No, I'm not doing that, okay? I don't want to get arrested, okay? So you may think that. That's part of our vernacular. So Abram is outside. Abraham's out here. And many of us are like that today. We feel like we have a word or a promise from God, but we're getting frustrated. We're getting impatient because time has gone on. You see, you hear this from God. You believe it, but you don't see it. And when you get impatient, it starts to mess stuff up. Like, I want to share this with you. A moment of impatience, if you give in to impatience, so a moment of patience can save you a lifetime of heartache. Let me say it again. A moment of patience, being patient, can save you a lot of heartache. Does anybody, if we had open sharing time, did you ever do something or have something that you pushed to doing because you were impatient and it cost you some issues? Anybody? Okay, I hear that. Yeah, we got some of them. So guess, you know, it's like when you were a teen. It's like when you were a teen. You had that person in your life. Let's say you were 14 or 15. And you're saying, God, I know our relationship's rocky, but I want to marry him. I want to marry her. We're gonna run off into the sunset happily ever after. And you were so upset, you didn't understand why that relationship didn't work. And then you jump on Facebook 20, 30 years later, and you say, thank you, Jesus, that I didn't work out. They were a hunk, and now they're a chunk, and I don't like it, right? Anybody with me here? You're thankful to God. But when you were in the process of that as a teenager, and you couldn't hear God, and you couldn't see God, it's easy to look back when we don't hear it from God. But when we're in the midst, when we're 14, 15, 16 in this moment, or maybe when we're 20, or maybe when we're 30, or maybe when we're 45, or when we're 75, we don't like waiting, and we're impatient, and it causes us issues. What I believe Sarah, and this is why I believe Sarah is awesome here, because Sarah, I believe, if she comes out of the stands, because we can't hear in the stands, right, the crowd noise, but she runs around the track with us a little bit, I think Sarah would say, chill out. Don't do what I did. Don't, and here's what I want to say. So when you can't understand God and you're impatient, don't do what I did. Don't muddy up God's promise with your solution. Don't muddy it up. Don't mess up God's promise with your solution for it. And Sarah takes things into account, and what she does in this story is she takes God's promise. It's not happening because 25 years have gone by. She starts to doubt. She gets impatient, and so she starts to take things into her own hands and decides, I'm going to fix it. And Sarah wants to tell us today, I didn't trust God. You need to trust him. You need to trust in God. And she's going to give us three things to start off about reasons why we need to trust God. Are you ready? So the first thing she says is trust in God even if it takes a long time. Even if it takes a long time. You see, many of us look at God as being slow. Am I right? Don't you think God is slow? I heard somebody once tell me, God is never early. God is never late. God is right on time. His time, not mine. Anybody believe God is a little bit late on your timing? All right, so it reminds me of the story one time where a man said, God, he was talking to God, and he said, God, how long is a million years to you? He said, a second. He said, God, how much is $1 million to you? He said, 1 cent. And the man said, well, God, can I get 1 cent? And God said, 1 second. All right. So, and you don't want to wait that million years, do you? You want it right away. And so that's what tends to happen. That's funny. I don't care what you say. That's funny. All right. Sure, just a second. Here we have in Genesis chapter 16. Listen to what it says here. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. And she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children, so go sleep with my maidservant. Perhaps I can build a family through her." And Abraham said, okay, yes, dear. Right? And then they all heard in the stands, Jerry Springer. Jerry Springer Show, sorry. All right. Doesn't it sound like an episode? Right. We have Sarai, and we have Hagar. Ah, they start fighting or whatever. All right. Sorry, I had a flashback. All right. So what we see here is Sarai begins to take things into her own hands. God's promise was what? Wait, and you will have what? A child. Your own child. From your flesh, from your own self, you are going to have that child. Sarah said, been 25 years. I know I'll do. I'll take her, and you take her, and then she'll have a family for me. She starts to have bad theology here, too, because this is what happens when we get impatient. We start to question our own faith and our own belief. What does she say? Who does she say kept her from having a child? The Lord. The Lord has kept me from having a child. It's his fault. Wait, God told you were going to have one. He said, no, it's God. It's bad theology now, and we start to get messed up. And so we get wrong thoughts in our head when we get impatient. And when we're in impatient mode, we start to do really radical, dumb things. Like, go get her, and she'll have a kid for me. That makes no sense. Have you noticed that? It makes absolutely no sense. God either won't or God can't, so I will do it. And you know what I found out? This is one of these cute little things. I don't know if you like it or not. There is no I in God, but there is an idol. And often what we do is when God isn't on our time, we think our calendar and our schedule and our makeup is better than what God has, even though he's given us the promise. And it says Abraham believed him. But guess what Abraham did?
Yes, dear.
So don't blame just her. Abraham agrees. And guess what happens? He has a child with Hagar. His name is Ishmael. And he's the father of the Arab nationality. Now I want to ask you a question. And then eventually God blessed him with Isaac. We're going to talk about that in a second. I want to ask you, has there ever been any conflict between their descendants of Abraham and Isaac? Oh, yeah. It's called the Middle East crisis. See what happens when you don't wait on God? You have world problems. And it affects everybody. It affects you and me. What Sarah and Abraham decided to do and not waiting on God created and shifted the entire world once and for all. So that's the first thing she tells us to do. Wait, even though it's a long time. Number two, trust God, even if it is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Does the word ridiculous sound ridiculous? I want to tell you, as Christians, you got to get comfortable with this concept. God will ask you to do the absurd. God will do things crazily. And I believe that many of us want our normal Christianity. We like stuff normal, don't we? We like everything nice and normal. We don't like any surprises. But if you like normal, I'm going to tell you, God will mess with you. It's like he waits for you to get comfortable and normal, and then he will say, here it comes. Get ready for it. In the Bible, it tells us that God uses the foolishness of this world to confound the wise. And he uses the ones who the world considers foolish to mess with the wise, and God just has fun. It's like, oh, you think you're smart? Watch this. Boop. Okay? Like, for instance, healing, raising the dead, him raising from the dead, virgin birth. Last time I checked, those aren't normal. Miracles are not normal. And I want to tell you something. If you like your Christianity normal, you can't expect to have normal Christianity and God to do a miracle. Because what happens in life is we want God to do the miraculous in our lives. when we have bad diagnosis, when we have people that are struggling, when we have dealing with depression, when we're dealing with all kinds of other things, when our marriages are falling apart, we say, God, do a miracle here. And he says, you're too normal. Your Christian faith is too normal. You don't expect me to do a miracle because you like everything normal. And we can't have miracles when life, when we want everything normal. So we need to be careful about that. For instance, like we like normal worship, don't we? We like stuff being normal. Like for instance, we come in, and I've been there before. I was raised in a Methodist household. And I thought that sometimes they were crazy. And we, Joe and I were taking places where the people were crazy. Anybody been to a Pentecostal church? It goes. You ain't sleeping. If you are, they may come over and, ow, foul demon, you may jump up, right? Nobody's sleeping. I remember this big guy one time dancing around, and he's sweating. I'm like, he's like, they're making a train, like, come on, ride the train, Jesus, woo, yeah, and they're doing all this around. I'm like, where are we? Get me out of here. I'm a teenager. I don't want to be here, right? This is crazy. And so we see that kind of stuff. And some of you may come in here and you may see those people that are smattered through here that may sing a song and go, what are they doing? And you may, I'm going to say, we say a song that raise your hands to the Lord. And we're like, hold the baby. Hold the baby. And that's cool. That's the first step. Hold the baby. All right, here we go. All right, God, hold the baby. Nobody sees me doing this. And you may eventually get to high five God. All right, high five God. High five God. You don't get to touchdown right away. You with me? It's worship. Hold the baby. Everybody try. Hold the baby. See, you're cool with hold the baby because I don't even know you're doing it. Hold the baby. Hold the baby. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, say thank you, Jesus. I remember my friend John Hobbs says his wife, she's having a Pentecostal fit when her hand's here. He says she's out, you know, because that's not how she worships. But, you know, you may that's, it's about being free in God. But you, the same of us are, oh, hold the baby or else I'm going to sit here and go, toe tap. Nice. Okay. I'm really going now, God. I may even nod my head. That's it. Okay? You may want to do it. You're seeing people at a football game go, woo! You know, doing all this kind of stuff in the stands. Am I right? This is the kind of stuff we do. But many of us, and many of you may be like I, like when our safe Christianity, that the Psalms are meant figuratively. But as I read the Psalms, it says, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God. Woo! Shout to God. You know how much you freak normal Christians out when you go, whoa, thank you, Jesus. Like James Brown, hi, right? People will wonder what is wrong with you. Good, because God says, there we go. There you go, you're free. You're free. I don't know about you, but sometimes I come in worship and it's been such a crappy week. I just want to scream. I just want to say, God, enough. I need you. And meanwhile, I'm like, all right, right? It says, shout to the Lord, all the earth. We're missing out on a part of what God, of who God is when we keep him safe and normal. We can journey there. I'm not saying you're going to touch down today. But I'm saying let God just work in your heart and in your life. And look at what it says here in Genesis 18, which is printed in your bulletin. What happened was some angels, presence of God, we talked about that the other week, they came and they met with Abram and they said, I will surely return to you about this time next year and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was doing a very good thing. She was eavesdropping. She's at the, it says at the entrance of the tent, and you know she wasn't standing there going, she was going, what do they want? What are they doing? And it says, Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old. 25 years had passed by. I'm going to tell you how old they were. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was 90. Anybody want a kid? I'm going to be 46 this year. I wouldn't laugh like she does. I'd cry. I'm like, oh, God, no. Oh, no, God. The youngest was 10. Oh, no, God. Right? They were very old and past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought. Now, this laughter is not like, this laughter is like, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Oh, come on, we've been waiting 25 years. And here's what she says. I'm going to give you Jack's version. This old worn out body and that old broken down man going to have a kid now? Yeah, right, God. God's going to do that. All right? And then, so that's how she is. She's disrespecting God in a way by saying, and I got to tell you, isn't it strange that God waited till they were 100 years old and 90? Say, now I'm going to start doing this. So Sarah's laughing. She's mocking God. Kind of like the world does when we aren't normal and trust God. The Lord, and then look what happens. The Lord said to Abraham, why did she just laugh? She probably went, why did she just laugh? In other words, what's up? The world says to you, what's up? Really, you're going to trust God? You're going to trust God to heal your child? I mean, you're going to trust God after everything that's going on in your relationship and your marriage? Really? You're going to trust God? Wait a second. You're going to trust God with your finances? No, no, no. Really, you are going to trust God with your job? You're really going to trust God? And God says, why are they laughing at me? I'll tell you what he says here. Look at what he says. God says, why did she laugh? And say, will I really have a child? And look at this verse. This is what your response is. Is anything too hard for the Lord? See, that's about trust. Is anything too hard for the Lord? It's kind of like God said, all right, you know, I'm going to give you this child, and you're going to mess it up because you're going to try to take it yourself. But here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you. I'm going to wait till you can never say you did it yourself. I'm going to wait until your old crusty body is falling apart, and then I'm going to make something happen. You know why? Because this is something easy for God. And then he says, look at this. He says, oh, and I will come back next year and you will have a boy. You know what he says? He's Arnold Schwarzenegger God. I'll be back. And you'll have a little boy. And because you laugh, you call him Isaac, which means he laugh. Right? So every day she had to see Isaac growing up, she was reminded, that's what happens when you scoff at God. And when he was a teenager, being a little pain in the butt, although he was pretty good, she was probably saying, huh, that's what I laughed about. And there he is. There he is. You know, I think that too. I think about, we're going to talk about this a little bit, when that Melissa had very high-risk pregnancy with Jacob. And, you know, sometimes when he's just being a royal pain in my butt, because they tend to do that. Preacher's kids tend to do that occasionally. Yeah. All right. Like every day. Great kid, but sometimes, man, they're kids, right? And sometimes you tend to forget that this is the promise of God. And guess what? His name is Jacob for a reason. Because remember, Jacob means he wrestles with God. I mean, he needs to get over himself. He was a deceiver, and he has to wrestle with God through his life. That's part of what you got to do in life. So here we go. We got Arnold God. And the first two are, God's going to take a long time. Trust him, and it'll be really strange and weird when God does. And the last thing that we have here, trust God even if others around you don't. Even if others around you don't. There's so many voices that we have in our world today. We are bombarded by them, and they warp what God says to us. Sarah started to buy into this before she ended up having Isaac come along that next year. And look what it says in verse 21. Sarah said, this is after Isaac is here, she said, God brought me laughter. And everyone who hears about this will laugh with me now. Who would have said to Abraham and Sarah that Abraham and Sarah would nurse children, yet I bore him a son in his old age? She's like, wow, now her laughter's not God. Now it's like, all right, God, you did it. You did as you said you would do. You see, Sarah now ends up on this last lap with us. It's time for Sarah's lap wrap with us. We're on that last portion of the lap, and she's giving us these things not to do. And now she's going to say, here, I want to give you some other stuff before I go back up in the stands. You see, God knew what he was doing, so don't spend time questioning him. Don't try to fix it yourself and mess up everything. But I think what's really cool that you find this, where next time we hear about Sarah in the New Testament, is in the Hall of Faith. That Sarah messed up. She chose to do stuff on her own. But look what we have here in Hebrews 11:11. It has her in here. It says, and by faith, even Sarah, don't you love that? Even Sarah, even that laughing Sarah, that one who was scoffing at the door, even Sarah. Isn't that cool? Because you can add your name in there. Even Jack, even Bill, even Mark, even whatever, even Jane, even Sam, Samantha, whatever. Even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she conceived him faithful who had made the promise. She, in other words, said, God, all right, I'll take you on your word. So Sarah wants to give us these three things that encourage us. Number one, don't try to outrun God when he's not moving fast enough for you. Don't try to outrun God when he's not moving fast enough for you. I'm going to shock you right now by telling you something. I am not a patient person. I'll let that settle in a little bit, but I'm a very impatient person in life. And my impatience is, like, often when God, when I've heard God tell me the first week when I was at another church that I wouldn't be there forever, I was like, where am I going? Let's go, let's go. And Melissa said, did you ask him when? I said, no, he told me to go, let's go. I'm ready, let's go, let's go, okay? I was like week one when I was at another church and I was there another 2.5 years, all right? So I'm not very patient. I'm not very patient with a lot of things. And when we came here, some of you have been around here that you remember the days of our portable church at Northeast Middle School. And you know, it was fun at first. And the people who are laughing are the ones who understand where I'm going with this next. And then it wasn't. That little trailer out there had everything for church. And at the first couple years, it's like, set up, tear down. Oh, here's some coffee, here's some cookies. We got the table out here. Oh, we even have Havenware. We got all this kind of stuff. Oh, it was fun. You guys remember that? Some of you remember this. I remember this day. After about year five of that, here, where do you want this chair? What are you going to do this? Set this up. Andy loved setting up those tables and Melinda, making sure they were all set up. And the days where the signal wouldn't work. And the days where the air condition, oh, that's right, there was none. Or the days in the middle of the wintertime when there was the heat, oh, that's right, some days there weren't that. And just the days where we were completely locked out. Anybody remember this? It was not fun. I remember being on vacation, and after I'd worked out everything to be in, because it was going to be hot. It was going to be really stinking hot. And I remember that we were going to be in the cafeteria where they did have air conditioning. And I remember getting a picture that said, the cafeteria is closed. And Mike Brandon, it was the first time he ever spoke. And I remember what Mike Brandon said. Well, it's hotter than hell in here, right? Anybody remember that? And here I am, miles away, wanting to choke someone. It was not fun. Those of you who were part of setup, did it grow not being fun? Right. It was not fun after a while. Okay? It was like that old commercial, time to make the donuts, right? And you're tired of donuts. And so what we did is we said, God, we need to get to a place. And we started talking to Mike and Tina about this, and we were like, but on paper, the money doesn't match up. We're going to be broke. I know what we'll do. Let's start a daycare. Some of the leadership team is starting to laugh now. And we'll put it in the paper, and we will go ahead and get people to apply for daycare because that'll help us financially in order to do it so that we can do ministry. Anybody remember this? And there was people who applied, and we found nobody we want around kids, right? And we were like, all right. And we worked months, a year on this. And I remember we got right to about, I think it was right till about the summertime, and we were exhausted, we were worn up, and we were beaten down because we knew we were still going to have to set up that crap every week, and we were frustrated with doing it. And I was impatient, saying, God, this is what you're supposed to do. And you know what God did? God said, forget the daycare. I called you to this ministry. Now that you know you can't do it, and as a matter of fact, we're going to go ahead and tell people what it's going to cost to get in here. We met with Mike and Tina, and they came up, and we said, well, on paper, we may not, but let's look. And I remember Jim said, treasurer said, hey, guess what? In a half year, we'll be out of money. Right? If things don't change, we will be out of money. Guess what? We're still here. And guess what? God's got other plans, and it has nothing to do, praise God, with a daycare. Right? We're here because God wants us here. And because we didn't do it on our own. We're past childbearing age. And God said, now I'm going to give you birth. Now that you can't, I can. Is anything too hard for God? We go ahead and we say we're going to support somebody. I open my mouth about how many boxes and stuff we're going to have. No way. I was like, maybe I should just say I was having like hallucinations or something. We did it and more. Is anything too hard for God? 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this, and it's a very important verse. I said some of it today, but it says this. God is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. But God is patient. God is patient. Aren't you glad God's patient with you? I am. This isn't in your bulletin, but I just want to give you this. The Bible gives us some instructions, and here's what I want to share with you, and then we'll touch on the verse. The secret of patience is doing something else in the meantime. The secret of patience is doing something else in the meantime. And Psalm 37 tells us what that is, and it tells us this is one of the greatest verses in Scripture. It says, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. In other words, if you can do part one, you can expect part two. If you can be patient and waiting for the Lord, then God's going to act. And what's he going to do? Here we go. Just take 10 minutes. 10 minutes in a day just to stop. Just say stop. Just say stop. And it may not be that you're in deep in prayer. Maybe you just put in a song and you just say, okay, I just need to stop and connect to God. And wait patiently. And then, what does it say? Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about wicked schemes. Because you can focus on God and say, he's got it together. Guess what? There's a lot of voices that we have in the world more than ever before. We have, you ever read something on social media and it just ruins your day? Anybody ever done that? Or am I the only one? You ever turn on the TV and watch the news and you're disheartened about everything and the world's going to hell in a handbasket? Guess what? There's a lot of good stuff going on. But that doesn't sell television news. Doesn't sell newspapers. Doesn't sell any of that stuff. But guess what? I got to tell you something. God's not worried. So you don't need to be either. Number two, everybody good? When you have to wait, focus on what's happening in you, not to you. When you have to wait, focus on what's happening in you, not to you. If something's going to happen to you, go to God. Most of us will go to God and say, God, help. And God says, great, no problem. I'm glad to help, but, and we don't like this part, but I want you to learn something. And then we say, no, God, I just want to help. I don't want to learn squat. I want to go to heaven dumb as a stick. All right? We don't like to learn stuff. Anybody like to learn stuff? No, I don't like to learn stuff that way. No thanks, God. But God cares about your character more than he does your comfort. God doesn't care about your comfort. God cares about your character. And you know what? Here, I'm going to prove something to you. You care about character more than comfort too. For instance, with my kids, if they want to get up when it's time for school, get up. I don't want to. I don't feel like going today. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Lay back down. It's okay. Are you comfortable? You want me to get you another pillow, another blanket? Would you like me to bring you breakfast in bed? I'm worried about your comfort. No, get your butt out of the bed before I throw it out. Anybody been there? Or when it comes time to chores, I don't feel like feeding the cats today. I don't feel like whooping your butt, but I will. Let's go. Right? Anybody sound like that? You say, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get you up from playing your video games for the 4,000th hour of the day. Just stay there. It's okay. Be comfortable. Can I get you anything? No. I don't care if you're comfortable. I don't. What I care about is the person you are going to be, and that is somebody who is responsible, and that is somebody who is intelligent, and that is somebody who makes choices and somebody who loves the Lord. That's what I care about. I care less where you're comfortable. Right? And if I don't care, why should God care? He cares more about our character than who we are. It's like when I remember when we had kids, like five kids. I remember the first kid we took that like childbirth Lamaze kind of class, that breathing thing. We graduated early because we had an emergency C-section. And there was no breathing involved. They locked me out. I was standing out with Judy going, do we hear him? Like, it would be cool if I yelled at him, remember to breathe, you know? And some of us are like, and I know with the other kids that were natural, there was times in that moment if I said, now, Melissa, be ready to breathe. She'd be like, be ready for what? You know, I mean, you know, she's awesome. She was awesome. I mean, I wasn't gonna mess with her too much. But you know, what I understand is childbirth is the only pain that you don't try to remove, but you push through it because the blessing is greater than the pain. And I want to share with you a verse that I found that is really cool in Romans chapter 8 from the Message, verses 24 and 25. That is why waiting does not diminish us. We think that waiting is bad for us. It doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. How many find out you're pregnant and say, let's get this sucker out now, today, woo, I just found out, let's go. No, that's not how it happens. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, do not see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. The longer we wait, the larger we become. If your spouse is pregnant, do not say that to them. All right, I'm just giving you a hint, guys, okay? No. Do that. All right, but the larger we wait, because they didn't have ultrasounds, they couldn't see what was happening, but they knew that it was a blessing that was coming. And you know, you get to that end, right, ladies? Or you have the huffs like you're in bed. Right? Am I right, ladies? I just do it because of my belly, you know. But you know what I mean? Am I right? And some of us, when we're walking around with the blessing that God is bringing to us, when we're halfway through, we're like, can this hurry up? But the larger we get, the longer we wait, yes, there's pain, but the blessing is so much greater. Patience is not the action of waiting. Patience is how you act while you're waiting. We all have to wait. We have to ignore the pain and push through with what God wants us to do. In James chapter 1, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops, here's that word, perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work. In other words, it's got to be birthed that you may be mature, complete, and lack nothing. God is committed to this. Number three, and this is our last one, as the worship team comes up. And she's getting ready to head back in the stands, and Sarah's rolling. She's rocking. And she says, I got to tell you this last thing. Even our very best cannot begin to compare to what God has in mind. Even the best thing that you can conceive and the best outcome. You see, Sarah had a good outcome. She was going to go ahead and have Hagar have a kid named Ishmael, and she was going to have the family for Sarah. And Sarah, everything was going to be wonderful, and it didn't turn out that way. But oh, when Isaac came on the scene, she saw the fullness of what God brought. We often think we can do our lives better than God can. And we often get tired of waiting. And we often forget about how awesome of a gift life is, and we take it for granted. We take it for granted all the time. This last verse in Isaiah tells us something very, very important. Since before time began, no one has ever imagined, no ear heard, no eye has seen, a God like you who works for those who do what? Wait for him. God has so much better for you and me if we're willing to wait on him. Sarah's making that lap around, and she says, that's what I got to tell you, Jack. Don't be me, but hold on to the promise that God gives. And don't complicate by your impatience the rest of the world because you weren't waiting on God. I think there's some people here right now, I'm going to ask you to just stand right now. There's some people who are here right now who God has given you a promise somewhere along the road. And you're tired of waiting. Year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 20, 50. It's going on and you're tired of waiting. Sarah's here telling you, don't give up.
keep on running, keep on going, and let me tell you, when God brings what he brings, it's going to be greater than ever before. Let's bow our heads right now. Lord God, I want to pray for everybody here and for those who are watching anywhere. You're an amazing, amazing God. God, we like our what we consider normal, but that kind of puts you in a box and keeps you from doing the miracles. Not because we're powerful enough, but because, God, you want us to just get to those points of the impossible. You want us to get past our childbearing days. And so, God, here we are. I ask that you enlarge us. You enlarge us. And we know that there's going to come pain with that, but God, I just thank you for the birth of your blessing after that. Help us to take Sarah's life and for the Isaac that you have promised in us, that God, you can touch the world. There's so many of us who are already represented by bringing different ministries and different gifts and different things in this church. I remember when God, you told me the name Haven Church, and you said you're going to go and plant a, and launch a church. And I remember thinking of that. I remember thinking, yeah, right, God, you're crazy. And God, I remember other people looked at me and said, yeah, you are crazy. And I remember people telling me statistics by saying 80% of new churches fail within the first year. And I remember those voices just coming at me right and left. And God, a lot of those talked about failure. And yet, God, I thank you that I'm past my birthing age. And yet you're bringing new life. In spite of me, in spite of all of us. Oh, God, there's been a lot of birthing pains. But guess what? This is your baby. So, God, for everybody who's here today, they need to hear right now that whatever they're going through, as the worship team played at offering, your will be done. Your will be done. I, you know how I feel, you know, that I'm scoffing at you, you know that I'm frustrated, you know I'm broken, you know I'm hurt, you know all those things, but God, your will be done. And I'm going to trust you. In the pain, I'm going to push through the pain. I'm going to push, God. I'm going to breathe and I'm going to push. And I'm going to love what you, the blessing and the new life that you give to us as individual believers and as a church. God, there's some people here who are feeling a pain in their life and they're hearing about you in the verse of life. So God, you tell us in the scripture that if anyone is in Christ, meaning if anyone has opened their lives and said, I accept you, Jesus. All the mess that I am, I accept you. I need a Savior. I need somebody that goes on my behalf because I'm a sinner. I missed the mark of what you intended. The scripture tells us that if anyone is in Christ, there's a new creation and the old is gone. So God, I pray that the birthing pains are going on all over the place and it is a time to give birth of new life in Christ. And all of heaven, God, throws a party. They throw a baby shower for a new Christian. And for those of us, God, who may have just run dry, that life is so painful, let help us just push and trust in you. We love you, God, and the altar's open. Wherever you are is an altar open. And I pray that if there's somebody here right now who needs to know Jesus, that you'll just raise your hand right now and just say, I need to know you, Lord. And you'll just wrap your arms around him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Where living waters will flow. darkness, no other hand that can save. Forever faithful, your love is stronger. I trust in no other name. Yeah, Jesus, you're all.
You like that? Come here. He's like, He's up here all the time loving. See, we got that. He's loving that, aren't you? He likes music. He's got his foot ready to tap again, all right? So, hey, have an awesome week in Jesus. Next week, we're going to go ahead and talk about Noah, our big dog Noah, all right? So we're going to learn a little bit about him, and then we'll finish off the second week with Jesus. Have a great beginning to the season of Lent, and may God be with you. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Bishop.